A path through thorny night, Valen's pride, House Valen, a path through thorny night, the rain-soaked streets of Valen's pride, a slum district of Avaria, were never more treacherous than at night. I navigated through alleys so narrow they seemed to swallow me whole, the thatched roofs overhead a canvas of dripping umbrellas. Water pooled in every depression, reflecting flickering torches and casting eerie shadows on walls that seemed to writhe like living things. I'd been here before. Kael Varn didn't send novices on missions he couldn't oversee. Still, I felt his gaze upon me as I walked, an unspoken reminder of the weight I carried and the cost of failure. My boots scuffled against wet cobblestones as I turned a corner into the main thoroughfare. A lone figure waited by the city watch's lantern post, Kael Varn, cloaked in shadows as much as his reputation. He watched me approach with an intensity that made my heart beat faster, though we'd walked the same streets together countless times. "How was your meeting with Curator Thalos?" he asked when I drew near. The night air held a hint of wood smoke and damp earth. Balin's pride never shone bright in the way Avaria's better districts did. Curator Thalos had been unsettling, his eyes like empty wells that seemed to drink in every aspect of you, even your darkest thoughts. I'd left before I said too much. "I sought reassurance. Our order is not at odds with Ashen Roads," I replied. "The broken writ still weighs heavy on my mind." Kael nodded curtly. "Curator Thalos knows well the burden of secrets and the cost of discretion." He paused, surveying the street before adding, "Tonight, we walk the streets. There's a household in need, one that's been silenced by debt. You know it." The wind died, and an expectant hush fell over the slum district. I nodded. "Another mission, another path through the night." The cost of magic weighed heavily on me. Every use left its mark, a fatigue in muscles, a memory fog, or an unspoken promise to be repaid in due time. As we walked, Kael told me about the household, a family struggling with a debt they couldn't pay, their children going hungry. "Correct the imbalance," he said softly, his voice barely audible over the patter of rain. "Make it right without blood, if you can." I swallowed against a growing sense of unease. In this city, balance was currency. It wasn't always possible to choose between what's right and what's just. Not every correction needed violence, but sometimes violence found its own path. We stopped before the household, a small dwelling in the midst of squalid tenements. The air inside reeked of desperation and fear. I drew out my coin purse, a gesture Kael wouldn't have approved if he'd seen it, and handed a few silver pieces to the elder. "Enough for food," I said. In this moment, balance wasn't about restoring righteousness or punishing wrongdoers. It was about providing what little solace we could in a world that offered precious little. The wind picked up, carrying the scent of wet earth into the darkness, and for an instant, the night seemed quieter, less treacherous. The rain didn't relent, but as I turned to leave with Kael, something felt level. A small weight had been adjusted. In this city where shadows hid everything, I'd nudged one piece back toward balance. I followed Kael Varn through the winding streets of Valen's Pride, my footsteps heavy with the weight of our recent actions. The rain showed no signs of letting up, drumming against the cobblestones like a relentless heartbeat. As we walked, I pondered the Curator Thalos meeting, an unsettling encounter that still lingered in my mind like a half-remembered dream. We passed under the flickering light of another lantern post, and I caught sight of Kael's face. His eyes seemed to bore into me, as if he could see the unease brewing inside. For a moment, our gazes locked, and I felt the familiar tug of his will, the reminder that I was not just a novice, but an instrument in his hands. "Tell me," Kael said finally, breaking the silence between us, "what did you truly sense from Curator Thalos?"
"Don't give me words."
"What did you feel?"
His question hung like a challenge, as if daring me to confront whatever unease I'd pushed aside during our earlier conversation. I swallowed hard, searching for a way to articulate the unease that had settled in my chest like a cold draft. In the dim light of the lantern post, Kael's eyes seemed to bore deeper into me, as if he could draw forth the answer from the very marrow of my bones. "It's not just what he said," I began, my voice barely above a whisper. He watched me, like he could see all the things I've seen and done, even the parts I try to keep hidden. Cale's expression remained inscrutable, but his grip on the lantern post tightened as if it was a lifeline keeping him grounded in a world that had suddenly grown treacherous. "What are you hiding?" he pressed, his tone low and even, like a blade slicing through fabric. The question struck me with the force of a blow. I'd been so focused on navigating Curator Thalos's unsettling mannerisms that I hadn't considered what secrets might be lurking within myself. The memories I kept locked away, hidden from Cale and everyone else, the events in the depths of the Undercroft, the screams still echoing in my mind, were they seeping out somehow? I hesitated, unsure how to answer without revealing too much. The rain drummed on, relentless in its cadence, as if mirroring the turmoil brewing inside me. Cale's eyes never wavered, his gaze a steady reminder that I was trapped in this web of shadows and secrets, with no clear path forward. His silence seemed to grow heavier than the raindrops, weighing me down until I felt suffocated by the need to confess. "Nothing," I lied finally, forcing the word past my lips. The denial tasted bitter on my tongue, like ash and gall. Cale's eyes narrowed, his expression unreadable, but I sensed a faint tremor run through him, a sign he didn't believe me. We continued walking, our footsteps echoing off the wet buildings as we delved deeper into the darkness of Valen's Pride. We eventually reached a narrow alleyway between two dilapidated tenements, the air thick with the stench of rot and decay. Cale motioned for me to wait while he disappeared into the shadows, returning moments later with a small, hooded figure in tow. The stranger's face remained hidden beneath their hood, but I sensed an aura of quiet desperation surrounding them like a shroud. "What's this?" I asked, wary, as Cale steered the hooded figure toward me. "A client." The air seemed to thicken, heavy with unspoken truths and half-remembered secrets, as the stranger's gaze flicked between us with a nervous intensity that sent my instincts on high alert. "His name is Aaron," Cale said softly, his eyes never leaving mine. "He has information about Ashen Roads." The hooded figure hesitated, its gaze darting between Cale and me with a nervous energy that made my skin prickle. "What kind of information?" I asked, trying to keep my tone neutral, but Aaron's anxiety was contagious. Aaron pushed back his hood, revealing a young man with sunken eyes and a scattering of acne on his cheeks. He glanced around the alleyway as if searching for an escape route, his fingers twitching like a trapped animal. "I've seen things," he muttered, his voice barely audible over the rain. "Things that can't be spoken aloud." Cale's expression remained stoic, but I sensed a tension in him, a coiled spring waiting to unwind. "Speak clearly, Aaron," he said, his tone a low warning. The air seemed to vibrate with unspoken promises and consequences, as if the very darkness itself was listening. Aaron took a deep breath, his chest rising and falling like a bellows. "I've seen the Red Viper's stronghold," he whispered. "The tunnels beneath Everia's Undercroft are thick with their presence. They're not just hiding in the shadows, they're planning something." The words spilled out in a rush, as if Aaron feared being silenced at any moment. A spark of unease flared within me, the embers of old memories flickering to life. The Red Vipers, our sworn enemies, the scourge that had ravaged Everia's Undercroft during the events I tried not to recall. Cale's grip on my arm tightened, a silent reminder that this was more than just idle gossip. "What do you know of their plans?" Cale asked, his voice low and deadly. The alleyway seemed to shrink, as if the very walls were closing in on us. Aaron's eyes darted wildly between us, his breath coming in short gasps. "I saw a symbol," he stammered. "A mark on one of their leaders, a woman with skin like polished obsidian. It was a crescent moon, surrounded by thorns." The image flashed through my mind like a specter, leaving me shaken. "A crescent moon with thorns," echoed the tattoos etched into the walls of the Undercroft. "The Red Viper's mark." My heart quickened, pounding against my ribs as I exchanged a tense glance with Kale.
We need to see this symbol, Kale said, his decision made.
Aaron, can you lead us to the stronghold? The rain continued its relentless patter, but the darkness around us had grown thicker, heavy with foreboding and secrets waiting to be unearthed. As I followed Aaron through the winding streets, the rain-soaked cobblestones glistened like a canvas of polished obsidian, reflecting the flickering torches that lined our route. Tail walked beside me, his eyes scanning our surroundings with an unnerving intensity, as if he expected the red vipers to spring from every shadow. Aaron led us deeper into the city, pausing occasionally to glance over his shoulder, his anxiety palpable. We eventually stopped in front of a dilapidated market stall, its wooden slats weathered to a soft silver that blended seamlessly with the night sky. The vendor, an elderly woman with a kind face and a misshapen finger, beckoned us closer with a gnarled hand.
Aaron, I'm glad you made it back, she said, her voice low and soothing.
Kale's grip on my arm tightened as he surveyed the vendor's wares, his eyes lingering on the assortment of dusty bottles and strange artifacts displayed within.
I edged closer to Aaron, who was visibly shaken, his breath coming in short gasps.
What did you tell your mother?
I asked softly, keeping my voice down so as not to alert the vendor or any potential witnesses.
Aaron's gaze darted toward Kale before returning to mine, a faint blush rising to his cheeks.
I told her about seeing the symbol, he whispered. She said to be careful, that the red vipers are unpredictable.
The vendor's expression turned guarded as she watched our exchange, her eyes flicking between Aaron and us with a mixture of concern and suspicion.
Kale's grip on my arm remained firm, his jaw clenched in a way that suggested he was holding back words.
The rain drummed on, relentless in its cadence, as if echoing the turmoil brewing inside me.
We need to see this symbol, Kale said finally, his voice low and deadly.
Aaron, can you take us directly to the stronghold?
The vendor's gaze turned from Aaron to Kale, a calculating glint appearing in her eyes before she nodded curtly.
I'll give you directions, but be warned the red vipers don't take kindly to strangers.
Aaron's face paled as he took the paper and scribbled on it with a shaky hand, his eyes darting toward Kale and me with a silent plea for protection.
With the directions in hand, we set off into the night once more, leaving the vendor's stall behind like a ghostly apparition. The darkness seemed to swallow us whole as we walked, our footsteps echoing through the deserted streets like a dirge.
We navigated the winding streets, our footsteps growing more purposeful with each step.
Aaron led us through a maze of alleys and narrow passageways, his anxiety palpable as he glanced over his shoulder every few moments. The rain continued its relentless patter, drumming against our faces like a chorus of disapproval.
I sensed Kale's tension, his eyes scanning the rooftops and shadows for any sign of our enemies.
As we walked, the buildings grew taller and more dilapidated, their crumbling facades seeming to lean in on us like sentinels.
Aaron hesitated at a particularly narrow crossing, his eyes darting toward Kale as if seeking reassurance.
This is it, he whispered, his voice barely audible above the rain.
The Red Viper's stronghold lies just ahead.
Kale's grip on my arm tightened, his jaw clenched in a tight line as we approached the entrance, a rusted gate hidden behind a tattered awning.
Aaron pushed the awning aside, revealing a narrow alleyway that seemed to stretch into darkness.
This is it, he repeated, his voice laced with trepidation.
I exchanged a tense glance with Kale, my heart quickening as we stepped into the alleyway. The air inside was heavy with the scent of decay and rot, the stench hanging like a shroud over our heads.
A faint glow emanated from deeper within the alleyway, a flickering torch that cast eerie shadows on the walls.
Stay close, Kale said softly, his voice carrying above the rain as we moved forward.
I nodded, my senses on high alert as we made our way deeper into the stronghold's heart.
Aaron led us through a series of narrow corridors and hidden passageways, the air thickening with an almost palpable sense of malevolence.
The red viper's presence seemed to seep from every stone, their power woven into the very fabric of this place. We finally stopped at a large wooden door adorned with intricate carvings, symbols of thorns and crescent moons that mirrored the tattoos etched into the walls of Everia's undercroft. Aaron hesitated, his eyes darting toward Kale as if seeking permission to proceed. "This is it," he whispered again, his voice barely audible above the creaking of old wood and distant whispers. The door seemed to loom over us like a specter, its presence heavy with foreboding. Kale's grip on my arm tightened, his eyes locked on the door as if daring it to open. "We're here," he said softly, his voice a low vibration in my chest. I sensed the weight of his unease, the tension coiled within him like a spring. Aaron's eyes fluttered toward mine, his expression a plea for reassurance that we'd protect him from whatever lay beyond the door. The air seemed to vibrate with anticipation as Kale pushed open the door, the creaking sound echoing through the alleyway like a death knell. We stepped into the stronghold, our footsteps carrying us deeper into the heart of the Red Viper's lair. As we entered, a warm glow enveloped us, casting long shadows across the walls as we stepped into a spacious hall. The air was heavy with the scent of incense and something sweetly floral, like overripe fruit. I blinked in the bright light, my eyes adjusting slowly to the stark contrast from the dark alleyway outside. Kale's grip on my arm remained firm, his eyes scanning the room with an unnerving intensity, as if searching for hidden dangers. We stood at the entrance of a grand hall, its ceiling lost in darkness. The walls were adorned with tapestries depicting scenes of bloodlust and conquest, their colors rich and vibrant despite the fading years. Ahead of us, a figure sat upon a throne-like chair, its occupant's face shrouded by shadows. A faint glow emanated from within the recesses of the chair, as if it were a lantern within. The figure remained still, its presence felt more than seen. Aaron took a step forward, his eyes fixed on the figure with an unnerving fascination. Kale's grip on my arm tightened, a low growl building in his throat. "Wait," he whispered, his voice barely audible above the soft hum of the incense. I exchanged a tense glance with him, sensing his unease as we watched the figure stir. Its head slowly lifted, its face emerging from the shadows like a moon breaking through storm clouds. The occupant's features were striking: high cheekbones, full lips, and skin like polished obsidian. It was the woman Aaron had described, her eyes gleaming with an otherworldly intelligence as she gazed at us. A crescent moon surrounded by thorns was etched into her left eyebrow, a mark that seemed to pulse with a soft, blue light. She regarded us with an unblinking gaze, her eyes roaming over our faces before settling on Kale's. The woman's gaze lingered on Kale, her expression unreadable as she studied him with an unnerving intensity. I sensed a shiver run down Aaron's spine as he took another step forward, his eyes locked on the figure with an unsettling mixture of fascination and fear. "Lady Serafina," he whispered, his voice barely audible above the hum of incense. Her gaze shifted to me, her eyes narrowing slightly as if sizing me up. A hint of a smile played on her lips, but it was more a thin-lipped approximation than an actual expression of warmth. "Welcome, little one," she said, her voice husky and melodious, like the purring of a contented cat. The thorn surrounding her eyebrow pulsed brighter for an instant before settling back into a gentle glow. "I've been expecting you." Kale's grip on my arm tightened, his jaw clenched in a tight line as he took a step forward. "Expecting us?" His tone was wary, a challenge hidden beneath the surface of his words. Lady Serafina's smile grew wider, revealing full lips and gleaming white teeth. "Indeed," she said, her voice dripping with honey-like sweetness. "Aaron here has been diligent in his duties, though I sense he's troubled by more than just the weight of his work." Her gaze flickered back to Aaron, a hint of amusement dancing on her lips. Aaron's face paled, his eyes darting toward Kale before returning to Lady Serafina. He cleared his throat, attempting to speak, but seemed unable to find the words. I sensed a tension building within him, like a storm cloud gathering on the horizon. "You have something of mine," he stammered finally, his eyes pleading with her. The air seemed to thicken in the room as Lady Serafina leaned forward, her eyes glinting with an otherworldly light. Ah, yes, she purred, her voice weaving a subtle spell of tension in the air. I believe I do. You see, Aaron has been instructed to retrieve something for me, and I fear he may have forgotten its significance. Her gaze drifted back to Kale, who seemed poised on the edge of violence, his eyes blazing with a fierce protectiveness. Tell me, Lord Vex, what brings you to my doorstep tonight? The air in the grand hall seemed to thicken as Kale's eyes locked onto Lady Seraphina, his jaw clenched so tightly I feared he might shatter his teeth. You know why we're here, he said finally, his voice a low growl that vibrated through my chest. Lady Seraphina's gaze never wavered, her eyes glinting with an otherworldly light as she leaned back in her chair. I know you've come for it, she said, her voice dripping with the sweetness of honey and the promise of pain. Aaron's neglect has placed him in a delicate position, one that requires his presence here tonight. She paused, her eyes flicking to me before returning to Kale. You see, Lord Vex, you have an interest in this matter as well. Your sister, Everia, is not the only one with ties to House Valen. Her words hung like a challenge, as if daring Kale to reveal his connection to Aaron. Kale's grip on my arm tightened, a spark of anger flaring within him like a struck match. You know what you've done, he spat, his voice barely above a whisper. Lady Seraphina's smile grew wider, her eyes glinting with an unholy light as she leaned forward once more. Oh, I do. And soon, Lord Vex, you'll see that I've merely begun to collect what's owed me. Her gaze drifted back to Aaron, who seemed frozen in place, his eyes wide with a mixture of fear and fascination. Aaron, Kale's voice cut through the tension like a knife, drawing my attention. He stood beside me now, his hand slipping off my arm as he grasped Aaron's shoulder, his grip like a vice. Let's go, he growled, pulling us both toward the door. Lady Seraphina's laughter echoed through the grand hall, its sweetness tainted by something bitter and decaying. Ah, but Lord Vex, you wouldn't leave without knowing what's been taken from Aaron, would you?